broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I think it's important that we don't get ahead of ourselves.
But frankly, there is a political agenda here that has nothing to do with eliminating racism.
They became suspicious then and contacted the medical center.
You think Mel Gibson would be forgiven by Jesus for what he said?
Oh, he's already forgiven. That's how it works.
Bleeping retarded.
You blew it!
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show like no other. We know what we're talking about on this show. And truth is our bitch. And we go everywhere, even through the looking glass, to find it. Welcome to the program, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com, where you can watch a live streaming video of the show right now, listen to live streaming audio, and access hours and hours and hours and year after year after year of downloadable archives. And we've now got them in the, we got them all kinds of ways, man. We got a single file. We got three different hourly files that you can download from each and every show that we do. And you have access to our comment section. You have email access to me, Phil Hendry. It's all there with a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. It's probably, it is the single best buy in terms of entertainment you're ever going to make in your life. All right, well, welcome to our program here this Friday evening. One story in particular has drawn our attention to the point that we've got Doug Danger standing by, who is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, to comment on a story having to do with education. Why would an entertainment writer be talking to us about an education story? Because it is something he, in what happened here, is something he's familiar with. Pennsylvania police say that a Teacher of the Year nominee faked inoperable brain tumor so she could get time off for work and a time off of work and get donations. Now, this is in Middleton, Pennsylvania, and police in that central Pennsylvania town say that this middle school teacher lied for years about having an inoperable brain tumor so she could skip days at work. She was nominated three times for Teacher of the Year. 51-year-old Leslie Hernisey, that's Hernisey, I should say, of Middletown, is accused of faking documents to take sick leave. She faces 12 counts of forgery. Her friends and colleagues at the middle school felt so sorry for Hernisey that they raised enough money to send the allegedly sick teacher and her family on an all-expenses-paid trip to Disneyland. Here is Detective Robert Appleby. He says that the school administrators question Hernisey's claims because she never really showed any symptoms of this, you know, brain tumor.
They became suspicious then and contacted the medical center and the neurosurgeon, who then denied any involvement or ever diagnosing Mrs. Hernisey. I think that was the goal of the crime she was committing, is to be off of work. Forgery is a felony crime, so it is a serious charge she's facing. I think sometimes people get involved in something that gets bigger than they expected it to, and they have trouble getting back out of it.
So Doug Danger is joining us. Doug, I know that there's a little bit of this story that's familiar to you. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing really good, Phil. I don't think there's too much of that story that's familiar to me. I need to let your audience know that right now. I did not. That gentleman right there is a detective. And
well, I know that you weren't charged with a crime.
That's exactly right. And I think I need to, at the outset, of course, Phil, you've known me for years, let your audience know I am a gay man and a gay journalist, and I have a long track record of being the kind of reporter who really digs for the story and tries to dig the truth out. I think what happened here with this lady is that she committed a crime. What I did was slightly different. When we're talking about AIDS awareness and gay awareness, we're talking about something that this country desperately needed at the time that I was engaged in this kind of work. So there's a big difference, Phil, I think, between what this lady did and the kind of philanthropic work that I was engaged in.
Well, Doug, but you know that when I asked you to come on the program, you had claimed that you had AIDS, right?
Let's back up and not use the word claimed. I went to my editor at that time, which Greg Allen, and I said to him that I had been diagnosed HIV. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so for me to go to my editor, and as nice a guy as he is, it's kind of like white people. You can't really say that there's a white person out there that isn't racist. Well, the same thing with straight people. You can't really say that there's straight people out there that aren't homophobic. And I think when I said to Greg, I've got AIDS. I don't think it took him more than a half a second to say, you got the time off.
Yeah. Well, did you go up to him? And by the way, that is a hypothesis that while you may be close.
What is?
Well, to say that I don't think there's a straight person out there that isn't homophobic, just like I don't think. I mean, I'm not, no doubt that you're very, very close. I don't doubt that.
Well, you've always been one of the most open-minded people about that. You've always agreed with me on that.
Well, I agree, but I can't say there's no straight people that are not homophobic.
Well, then you have changed your opinion a little bit since we originally talked. But that's okay. I understand. The point that I'm making.
Hold on. So you went in and you said you had AIDS and they gave you time off. And did you not collect money?
I collected money for AIDS awareness and for gay awareness. And I used that money to educate people. There's a difference, Phil. When I said to Greg that I had AIDS, I first said that I was HIV positive because there was no way. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I knew because of my instinct that he was going to think this guy went from being completely healthy to having AIDS overnight to something wrong. So as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I had to position this, Phil. I'm not saying that what I did was absolutely above board, but what I did was in the name of get the awareness out on gays and the awareness out on AIDS. And
well, what did you do with the money?
I used it for gay awareness and for AIDS awareness.
Let me start here. Why did you take the time off in the first place? Why couldn't you do this without lying and just?
Because I did need the time off. That was I was working on a screenplay, which, by the way, has been since produced, and I have a very, very good plagiarizing case against the people. I wrote a screenplay that just turned into a movie and made a lot of money. So I've got a very good plagiarizing case, and I'm going to go after them for the money. But I did need the time off.
Can I ask you what movie?
Yeah, The Hangover.
You wrote The Hangover?
I wrote my version of The Hangover. It turned out it got into somebody else's hands. So I'll visit them later. But right now what I'm saying is I needed the time off to write that. And
so you took this time off. You said to a guy that you had AIDS. And
not a guy. It was my boss at the Courier.
Okay, so you said to this guy, Greg Allen, right?
Yes.
I've got AIDS, and he gave you the time off. How did you collect this money?
I think a lot of these questions you're asking me, Phil, are, I don't know if you're going to understand the answer.
No, what do you mean? I mean, how did you collect money if you told people that you had AIDS? Did they offer it?
I said that yes, of course they offered it, because I said I have AIDS, and I think we need to make more people aware of AIDS and of the gay lifestyle, the gay way. And people began to donate money to me. And I used that money, Phil, for AIDS awareness, for getting people aware of gays, and for, and
so you didn't use that money did you use any of that money in a way that one might consider improper? Did you use it for, I mean, already you've lied. Already you've taken the money under false pretenses.
Whoa. How am I taking it under false pretense?
Because you're telling people you've got AIDS and you don't have it.
No, that's not taking it under false pretenses. Taking it under false pretenses would be to say I'm taking this money to spread awareness about gays and not spread gay awareness. But I did. And I don't appreciate, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I don't appreciate what has overtones of homophobia.
No, Doug, I'm just saying, it's my opinion that if you say to somebody that you have AIDS and they give you money as the result of that.
I don't know that they gave I said I had AIDS so I could get time off to write this screenplay that was very good, and they, in my opinion, it's been plagiarized. That's why I said I had AIDS. The money that I took was for gay and AIDS awareness, and I spent it for that.
All right, well, for instance, we're talking with Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier, the entertainment writer there.
What do you mean, explain it?
You took this money for AIDS awareness. What did you do with it?
Well, I did a lot of things with it. We went out and we gave talks to schools. We use the money for transportation. You know, a lot of this, Phil, I got to tell you, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and that is almost, how do I put this? It's almost transcendent. I don't know if you can understand. When I say that I went out and I used this money for gay awareness, if I explained to you what that was, I don't know that you would understand, that you would comprehend it.
And well, wait a minute. If you're if going out and educating people, okay?
To you, that sounds a certain way. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and other people who are listening to me right now, who are gay and perhaps they know of my work, or they know of other gays that are transcendent, understand it's difficult to talk to and forgive me, but it's tough. I know you're going to think this is wrong of me. It's tough to talk to a straight.
Wait. All I'm asking you is, what did you do with this money? Okay.
I heard you the first two times you asked me that, Phil. It's difficult to talk to a straight when we're talking about getting gay awareness out there and getting AIDS awareness. And
already you have taken money that was acquired, all right, honestly, if you want, but you were taking time off from your job, dishonestly saying, by the way, how is it that you were able to hold on to your job?
I held on to my job because I'm good. Next question.
But you lied to that newspaper, you know.
I held on to my job because I'm good. Next question.
All right, I'm going to take a break here, Doug, okay?
Yeah, you take a break, Phil. You know, look.
I don't want to get into an argument. I don't want to get into sarcasm.
No, I understand, but you're asking me some questions. I think you're trying to hook me up to the same type of crime that was committed by this Pennsylvania teacher who claimed she had some kind of brain tumor, and they let her go down to Disneyland, or what is it?
Disney World.
I'm telling you that I took that money for gay awareness and AIDS awareness, and I spent it for gay awareness and AIDS awareness. You asked me, well, how did I spend it specifically? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and if you want me to hit you with it, I will. I'll give you both barrels. But I'm gay. You know,
I don't understand what that has to do anything. All I'm asking for is specifics on what you did with money that you took from people who believed you to have AIDS and believed you to be using that money for so-called AIDS awareness and gay awareness, which you say you use for those purposes, but you can't tell me what those purposes were because you say a lot of straight people won't understand and you're transcendent. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, world famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk to Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier. This all started with a story about a Pennsylvania teacher who claimed to have a brain tumor and did not, and wound up taking donations from her friends and being named. She was also, and I don't think this is why they named her Teacher of the Year, but she also was Teacher of the Year. Doug Danger was involved in something similar a number of years ago when he was when he told the newspaper he was working for that he had AIDS. They gave him time off. He collected money for, quote, AIDS awareness. Turned out he never had AIDS. And that the reason why I took the time off is he was working on a screenplay. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Does it matter if you lied to someone if what you're collecting money for is a good cause? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier joining us. In Pennsylvania, a middle school teacher, high school teacher, I forget which, but she, her name is Leslie Hernizey. She is a teacher who was named Teacher of the Year three times. She got time off because she told them she had a brain tumor. She was taken to Disney World because she told them she had a brain tumor. Her colleagues donated money to her family, and it turned out she was scamming people. Doug Danger has joined us, and Doug, you have made very clear that you do not think what you engaged in when you said you had AIDS.
No, I think, Phil, and I'm sorry I got to interrupt you. I think you're doing a disservice to me. I think you're doing a disservice to anybody that is disabled. when they try and raise money for awareness, yes, I need some time off, but I'm gay. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm going to go into a boss at a paper and say that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. He's not going to give me time off as a disabled person. He is.
Wait. You don't think being gay, you're disabled, do you?
I do not think that I'm disabled, but I think that technically, legally, it should fall under the Persons with Disabilities Act, because people don't want to believe that gay is something you're born with. People want to believe, straights want to believe that gay is something that you came down with or you got infected with. Okay, fine, I'll play it their way. That means I've got a disability. So either way, I don't think I lied. Either way, I think I deserve the time off. And I took that time off to write the screenplay, but also get money for gay awareness. And we raised a lot of money.
Yeah, but you won't tell me what you did with that money.
I did tell you what we did with that money, Phil.
No, you did not, Doug. You said we raised a lot of money, but I'm straight and I wouldn't understand.
No, I didn't say that. I said we used it for gay awareness, and it's difficult to describe because of the fact that there are a lot of us in the gay community. Some of us are... get things done a lot better than others. And I get things done. And it's in a transcendent way. I can't explain it.
Well, all right. 877-876-PHIL is the number as we talk to Doug Danger on raising money for AIDS awareness and gay awareness, but the money was raised under false pretenses, in my opinion.
No, that is wrong to say, Phil.
No, it's not wrong to say if you said that you had AIDS and you didn't have AIDS.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And technically, because nobody wants to believe that I'm gay, let me ask you straight out. Do you believe I'm gay?
Yes, I believe you're gay. Yes, I do. I've known you for years.
All right. Then why doesn't that fall under the Disabilities Act?
Because it's not, in my opinion, it's not a disability. Do you think it is?
Most Americans do. And yet, if they won't let me take time off for that, I can't park. I wouldn't want to park in handicapped parking, but the point is, I have to lie. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but they made me lie. But by making me lie, I raised money for the gay, getting everybody squared away on gay, on what gay is.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to Rebecca. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Rebecca, go ahead, please.
Well, I think the guy, maybe he doesn't understand the question you're asking him. How was the money spent? I mean, you know, whether he's gay, straight, or whatever. And straight people do understand gay issues. I mean, did he spend it on posters, public service announcements, commercials?
What I spent it on, what I spent it on, I'm Doug Danger, and I am a gay man and a gay journalist. I write for the Orange County Courier. On the day that I went to my boss, Greg Allen, I said, I've got AIDS. I didn't have AIDS, but I needed time off to finish this screenplay. And what I was going to do is I was going to take the money that I raised for having AIDS and give it to gay awareness. What do you find funny about that, ma'am?
I'm just trying to comprehend it. So you were going to take the money and use it to help gay women. Is that what
you
said?
No, ma'am. To help gay people. To help gay people.
Okay, gay women. I'm sorry. I'm in transit, so the phone's breaking up.
No, ma'am. No. Oh. All kinds of gays. All the gays. Well, no matter what they are.
You said that straight people don't understand gay advocacy and AIDS advocacy, but we do. A majority of us do.
Well, I'm a gay man, it's
all of our problem, you know? It's not just a gay problem.
Well, how do you figure it's all your problem? Y'all don't get... I know you don't get... Are you worried about getting AIDS? No, you're not. Because you're a straight woman, and I'm sure... I said y'all not worried about getting AIDS, are you? You're a straight woman.
Oh, well, no, because I play safe.
That's what I'm saying. So, I don't worry about getting AIDS, because I play it safe, too. But I'm not here to talk about my sexuality. I'm here to talk about... You know, gay, aware. Are you aware? I'm a gay man. I got to start with this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You heard that, right?
Right. Yes, sir. Many times.
Okay. Don't let Mr. Henry influence you.
No, but Doug, you said it a lot, and that's why she said that.
She said that it sounded sarcastic. Anyway, the second thing is that gay awareness is to be aware. First of all, we need to have people aware of gay. And what gets squared away on that? Are you feel squared away on that?
Unless you're living in a cave in America.
What do you mean squared away? Look at Rebecca. Thank you very much. We'll take some more phone calls. 877-876-PHIL. Squared away on what?
Squared away on whether you know about gay.
Yes, I know about them.
Phil Hendry.
Well, I'm asking.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Doug Danger here about this. Well, first of all, we started with this teacher in Pennsylvania, this woman claiming to have a brain tumor, and she took time off because she claimed to have a brain tumor. She got people to donate money to her because she had a brain tumor. She got people to send her family to Disney World.
I want to interrupt you here.
All right, but let me tell people, we're with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, and you made a claim that you had AIDS in order to get people to donate money. Yes, I know, for AIDS awareness and what you call gay awareness, but nonetheless, under false pretenses.
No, I told you that I said to Greg Allen I had AIDS so I could get time off to finish writing that screenplay, which you asked me if that's the screenplay that I got plagiarized.
All right, you're claiming that The Hangover was plagiarized from you.
I'm not making any claims at all. I'm telling you, it was plagiarized from me. They changed the married couple, the newlywed, played by Justin Bartha, that was a gay couple in that script. And the Bradley Cooper character was gay. Otherwise, it was the exact same script. And I had asked you, because you had done a TV show with Justin Bartha, if you would introduce me to him, because I wanted him for that film.
And by the time I got around, you got around to asking me that, man, we had stopped doing that show.
You still got the guy's phone number.
I'm not going to call him up 2 years later. I'm sorry. I'm not, you know, hey, man, how's it going, Justin? And by the way, there's a friend of mine who's writing a script and would really like you to be in his movie. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the kind of thing that happens all the time in Hollywood, Phil. And unfortunately, because you didn't do that.
Because I didn't do that, you lied?
Because you didn't do that, you made it more difficult for me to complete this project, and I had to continue telling people that I was dying from AIDS so that I could get more time off to write it. Now, what we did do with the money that we raised is we put it to very, very worthy causes in everything gay that you could possibly imagine, and also AIDS awareness.
All right, and I've asked you, like what?
And I told you. I already told you.
No, Doug, you tell me that you are... That I wouldn't understand.
I told you there's a few of us in the media, gays in the media. We are transcendent. We direct a lot of the energy of where the community wants to focus its giving. And so I don't know what you would want to call us, but we are like a council of elders.
A council of elders? Doug, it sounds to me like we've got a situation here where you took some money and you're bullcrapping me.
No, I'm not bullcrapping you. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, because you don't get that, and you don't understand that, and you suffer from that kind of endogenous homophobia. That's what you want to say.
I'm not homophobic, and there's nothing you can say that's going to make it true. 877-876-PHIL. Sherry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger.
As a member of the GLBT community, filling in the B position, is this guy basically saying that because I'm a woman and a bisexual, I can take time off to go to Ireland because it's a disability? I mean, because let's face it, even in today's workforce,
women are still in a disability. The straight community wants to believe that we're disabled, and I think that is one way of approaching the problem of getting the kind of insurance that we need, the kind of time off we need, the kind of community support we need, is by claiming it as a disability. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and what I've done is I've written a screenplay, which I feel was taken from me. That's what you're saying?
So watch your language, please, okay?
Sorry.
We can't say that on the air. We can't use that.
Pity me because I'm gay. That's all I'm hearing.
Pity that
is all
I'm gay.
That I'm hearing.
No. No. I'm saying I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and
gay,
I went out and
lovely.
I did gay awareness with the money. You heard that,
the gay
right?
community is aware of itself. The straight community is aware of the gay community's existence. It's been out there. For God's sake, I love Logo on my cable package. Okay? You guys are out there. We're all out there.
If they're aware of us, then why aren't they? If they're aware of us, then what's taking so long with a lot of the things we want? If they're aware of us, then why are we standing around waiting for them to get moving?
What do you mean standing around waiting for them to get moving?
All the stuff that we want. See, I personally, as a gay man and a gay journalist, and this lady what are you?
Lord have mercy.
Ma'am, you can sit on the sidelines and make your crack, or you can get involved.
I am involved. Why don't you move north of the Mason-Dixon line where there's actually more open community and you're not afraid of getting lynched?
Wait. What do you mean north of? I live in Los Angeles. Is that north enough for you?
Okay. So there's a gay community in LA.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Massachusetts, where we have gay marriage.
Oh, well, that is just the most egalitarian place. Phil, look, I don't want to talk to some dyke.
Whoa. Hold the line here. Now, hold on.
No, I'm serious.
And she didn't say she's bisexual, okay?
Well, I don't know. She came with this LGBT. I can tell you that the money that I've raised for the I raised money for lesbians. Nobody was, you know, what were you doing?
I've been an active member of the GLBT community since I was 10 years old.
You were 10?
Yeah. My first Pride Parade.
Well, who took you to it? I don't understand. Are you L, G, B, or T?
B, as in bisexual. That's what
bisexual.
The B stands for in GLBT, if you've forgotten.
That ain't gay. It's called Anne Heche. It's called Let's Experiment. That's what that's called.
There's so much more to the community than just the existence of gays.
I appreciate your call, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on here because to me it sounds, Doug, like you just want to argue.
I do not just want to argue. I want to get some people who are going to talk reality to me and not somebody who's an LGBT, which sounds, like something you get from Topps Charboiled Burger. You know what I mean, Phil? You know what I mean?
What? Yeah, I'm here. What?
LGBT, like a lettuce, bacon, and tomato. That's why I was making a joke.
All right, Doug, you can make the jokes, but the fact is that you took money, you said it was for AIDS awareness, you spent it, and you won't tell me what it was for.
I'm a gay man and a gay...
I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
Well, then what about that... And she went to a dyke parade at 10? And you're yelling at me.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm not talking about the caller at all. I'm done with the caller. Billy, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just wanted to tell him, say hi, that this is the 21st century, and if you're not aware that people are gay or straight or whatever, then you must be living in a cave. I mean, and to lie.
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm aware of that. But what I was doing with the money that I raised was to get people aware of gay or gays. Right?
But people are aware that some people are gay. I mean, some of my best friends are gay. You know, so
I think what you got there, you got it backwards. Some people are aware that people are gay. You said people are aware that some people are gay. And I think you got it backwards.
I mean, if people are not aware that there's gay people out there, then they're living in a cave. I mean,
TV... Are you aware that... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Did you know that? No.
You've said it several times on that.
Well, all right,
do you have a problem with the fact that you're a gay person?
I want people to know. Look, I got no problem being gay. I got a problem having somebody steal a movie script from me where I have to claim I've got AIDS just so I can get 2 extra weeks to rewrite a section of the screenplay.
But by announcing that you lied or telling someone that you lied, the thing is, you're telling the society and the children that we're raising it's okay to lie, and that's wrong.
No. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and that is a transcendent... I'm part of that... part of the gay community that is transcendent. So what that means is this.
What does that mean?
I'm about to tell the lady. I raised money for gay aid. That's what I raised money for. Mr. Henry asked me, what does that mean? I say to him, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and you wouldn't understand. And he has wrote me all hour long because he won't accept that. That's what all of us in the gay community got a problem with.
All of you in the gay community got a problem with what? Me asking you what you did with money that you raised by saying that you had AIDS because, you're writing a screenplay?
Yes, that's exactly it. And this lady understands because she's got gays. What do you got, ma'am?
I don't understand why you would lie to your boss. I mean, I've been a manager.
I needed to get the time off. Look, I'm not considered with a disability. Otherwise, I could have claimed it as I'm gay and I've got a disability.
Gay is not a disability. I mean,
we're going to have to figure it out because, well, if it's not, then how come we don't get all the other stuff that other people get? So I said to this guy, I got AIDS. I could have said I'm gay and I've got a disability. No, he won't let me do that. So I said, I got AIDS. He said, I'm really sorry to hear that. Take some time off. I did. I wrote the screenplay. I got screwed out of the money for that. I took the money. I got gay aid going. And
what gay aid?
That's what I told you. It was for awareness of gay aid. And Bill asked me what the money was for. None of his business.
Okay, Billy, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll take another phone call before we take our break. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing? This is first-time listener, first-time caller. I was just driving, and I take a song of stuff today, but I'm in a wheelchair. I have a disability myself.
I can't hear you.
I don't understand.
Do you got a wheelchair phone?
What's that?
Let me ask him, Doug. Jason, are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. My Bluetooth just cut
okay.
out.
Have you got a phone on the chair?
What's that?
You have a phone on the chair, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm full on a chair. I'm in a wheelchair.
Connected? Do you have a wheelchair phone?
I can hear the man fine. What did you want to say, Jason? Go ahead.
Doug doesn't know how to be quiet and let people talk.
I was just asking if you had a wheelchair phone.
No, I don't have a wheelchair phone. I don't know what a wheelchair phone is. I have a regular phone. Now, I don't know what disability you got, okay? You don't have a disability. You're gay. But yeah, you're gay, okay? And you're a journalist.
Yes, sir.
And it sounds like the only reason that you said you had AIDS and to raise awareness was so that you could take time off of work and write a play. Other people just take time off, don't get paid, and do what they got to do if they got to rewrite something. Also, you should be ashamed for not saying where your money's going. What organizations did you donate that money to?
Sir, I would love to tell you, but you do not have a wheelchair phone.
Oh, I can tell. The gentleman asked you what organizations your money goes to.
The money now?
No, the money that you raised when you claimed to have AIDS and you didn't.
It went to a variety of organizations. I mean, I don't have my briefcase with me, but
you are so full of it, it is unbelievable. Someone should investigate for fraud.
Sir, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Why would I lie about giving money for AIDS to gay?
You can't name one organization that you gave money to and you raised.
Right.
One organization.
Name one organization, Doug.
I didn't name an organization. It was money that went to gays who were in organizations. I never got their names.
Okay, you know what? Jason, thanks very much.
No, you're not going to do that. You're not going to paint me as a criminal.
Well, you haven't answered any questions, so I think you're painting yourself as whatever it is you want. Jason, thanks so much. 877-876-PHIL.
If you had told that guy, Phil, to get a wheelchair phone so I could hear...
There's no such thing as a wheelchair phone. You heard what the man said. 877-876-PHIL. You know, Doug Danger, I've known him for a long time. He's a great writer. He works for the Orange County Courier, and he is a gay man and a gay journalist. And he did admit to lying about having AIDS. He did admit that he took the time off to write this screenplay, and he did admit a lot of things. The only thing he's not telling us is when he raised that money, the money that people gave him, what did he do with it? And I will not accept his answer, which is, I'm gay, you're not, you would never understand. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's you don't believe there's a wheel- the Phil Hendry Show.
You don't believe in a wheelchair phone.
Phil Hendry. What about it?
This guy Al Hunt is on right now. I don't like that guy. Somebody, I tried to get a shot on Bloomberg News, you know, because I felt they needed a entertainment reporter because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And this guy Al Hunt, every time I see him, I don't like him, you know.
Why?
Because he's on Bloomberg News.
All right, Doug Danger with us, 877-876-PHIL on... this lady who lied as a teacher claimed to have a brain tumor, and she didn't, took a lot of money and took a lot of sympathy. Mr. Danger, you took a lot of money claiming you had AIDS, and you spent that money, and you won't say where.
I did say where.
No, you didn't. You haven't named a person?
I said it was for... Phil, you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I know that, but where did you spend the money?
I told you I spent it on gay... on AIDS to gays.
Did you spend it on AIDS? Gay AIDS awareness? Gay awareness? Aid to gays?
I said AIDS awareness and gay awareness. Awareness for everything about gays, which includes AIDS. Which also includes straight people, too.
Okay. So, in other words, you spent it on that. Just, was there an organization called Aid to Gays?
It was, I had a checking account, yes. And
you might have had a checking account. Did you have was it a DBA or something?
Oh, you know, Phil, please don't try to pretend like you're what's his name, Jerry Kramer.
Who's Jerry Kramer?
He was the offensive lineman for the Packers, and he had this financial show.
Jim Kramer. Offensive lineman for the Packers, and 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to another phone call here. On the line with us is Cliff. Cliff, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Doug Danger. Go ahead.
Yes. There's
yes,
a couple things that I'd like to point out right away, flowing the conversation since the beginning of the phone call. He did admit approximately seven sentences ago on air that he gave the money to gays, quote unquote.
That's right.
Gave the money to gays. So it's not an organization. It was individuals. And
they
what
were individuals
you did
and
was
parts
you
of an
shared
organization.
You shared publicly a profit,
yeah.
A private profit that was generated
okay.
Based upon an ideology that you manifested, that you created in your own mind.
What ideology? Being gay?
And you tried to sell that. And you've tried to
That's
sell
not
it
an
on
ideology.
The radio tonight. You are
being
a gay man with a gay
ideology.
Job. I am a straight man with a job because I do not label my jobs because I do
but
not
that
have
doesn't matter.
An agenda.
What you do doesn't matter to me. What I do matters to me.
You
and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
And your agenda has affected me publicly over the radio waves. Don't you see?
Well, I hope it gives you a heart attack. How about that?
Hello? All right, that Doug, you know what? That's not going to serve any purpose.
Well, this guy's coming on like he's some kind of a Poindexter. I'll tell you this. I came out, and I told that guy that I had AIDS, and they gave me the time off, and I raised money for awareness and everything. Now, if I gave it to some gays in an organization,
admit
that's
that first.
An organization.
Just admit that you lied. You lied publicly.
I'm not affecting you. You know, you said something really interesting. I'm affecting you. I'm not affecting you.
Okay. Well, let me,
what,
let me make
indigestion?
An offer to you. Let me make an offer to
okay.
You because you take up the plight of the poor, unprivileged, unannounced individuals in society. So why don't you look within your own gay community and you find the people that are left-handed, okay? And when you find those
sense, man,
when you
problem.
Find those people, you will find that they are the most discriminated group on the planet. One-third of the general population of the world is left-handed, and yet you don't hear us.
You
don't hear us
pronouncing
advocacy to change the world. And after all, we are a third.
Well, because discrimination against you is good. We should discriminate against left-handed.
And are you aware of that?
And we should discriminate. Yes, I know of children who are left-handed who were beaten, and that's good.
That's good, huh?
Yeah, they should be beaten. And this guy ought to come out of the closet, quit fooling around.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We got nothing accomplished, and I think you did a lot of damage tonight.
Oh, well, you know, Phil, let me say something. If you're playing Jack Nicholson, all you did was weaken a country. I can tell you something here.
That's not bad.
Not bad, huh? I can tell you this much. All you did was weaken a gay man and a gay journalist. And I give your entire segment here tonight two gay thumbs down. One gay thumb up, because at least you had me on, but two gay thumbs down for how you dealt with it. I'm good, guys.
Phil Hendry.
I give you personally three gay...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
A lot of people have told us the bumper solves the signal strength problem.
We simply ask them to repudiate racist acts.
Our process was that is a part of the revamping of...
He's huge.
F you.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Right there, man. That's worth the price of admission. Where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere for that bitch. 877-877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. And join us online at philhendryshow.com, a community of Phil Hendry Show fans at philhendryshow.com, where all of our BSP people are watching a live video of our show right now, listening behind the scenes to Jason and me and Charles, listening to me cuss up a storm before the show goes on the air for our pre-feed. And then, of course, we have a five-day video archive. You can go back and watch the last 5 days of our show. You can get downloads of each day's show online at our website. You can also get downloads of archive material and lots more to come, philhendryshow.com. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And I want to mention our affiliate spotlight tonight, which we failed to mention at the beginning of the show, but we're very happy to get to it now. Affiliate spotlight tonight on Los Angeles, KTLK 1150 AM, our great affiliate flagship in Los Angeles, and in St. George, Utah, KZNU 1450 AM. Very happy and proud to have you guys on our network. We are going to talk about BP. We actually were going to talk about this last night, but we got really sidetracked. There's a million things going on. Last night with Raj Faneen, Ted Bell is going to join us here from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and this is our Ted's of Beverly Hills segment, so let's hear from Ted right now, and I know that he's at the restaurant tonight in Beverly Hills, California. Ted, how you doing?
Good, Phil, and thank you for having Ted Bell on tonight and making me a part of the Phil Hendry Show. And we are going to talk about British Petroleum, but we got good steaks here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I hate to talk about oil and steak, but, you know.
It's not very appetizing, is it?
No, it's not very appetizing, but that is the, that's the name of the game these days, I certainly, Phil, am grateful to be on your program this evening to talk about this. I want to say, from our restaurant and from the many customers that we've talked to and the many people that have come through the door here over the last several days, none happier was the crowd of people that we had in the restaurant last night. And just about all of them were talking about the fact that this well got tapped, that the BP well got tapped, and that's what they were discussing.
Now, if you wouldn't mind, Ted, for just a second, I wanted to get to the story because we've got some audio that we're going to play for everybody. We have President Obama, who is weighing in on a couple of things concerning this. And we also, as you mentioned, we had the story yesterday that once the well was capped, we had the price of BP stock going up.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, and because I'm going to want to talk to you off the air about a couple of things. And
well, what do you want to? You don't want to talk about it now?
Well, what you mentioned right there, I want to get clear, and I thought, because I had been on the air, I had been on the phone with David G. Hall, who's your vice president of syndication, and I had told him what you and I were going to talk about, and I told him about my own personal problems, and I'm a little disappointed, I guess.
I'm sorry?
You brought up the stock price.
Right. What do you want to... Okay. We were going to discuss the...
Let me tell you what is... Let me tell you, Phil, before we get too further into it. I'll tell you what I want to talk about, then you tell me what you want to talk about.
Go ahead.
Well, I have an ongoing agreement with your program. I buy airtime on your program. I know a lot of people in the media, and I'm very happy to know a lot of people in the media because I am a restaurateur, I'm a businessman, but I also like to know what's going on. And I think any man who's in business, any woman that's in business, to be successful, I think you need to know the state of the world that you're living in. At 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I went on your website, and I saw a story that said the following. BP capping well, stock prices rise. I looked at the time that you put that story up, and it was early in the afternoon. And that's when I got on the phone with David. And what has this got to do with your audience? Well, here's what it has to do with your audience. I think we all have friends, and we all have business associates. You don't want to dislike a friend, and I consider Phil Hendry to be my friend.
Thank you, Ted.
But that's why I am disappointed, and I don't know what it was you were trying to do to me, but...
What was I trying to do to you?
That's a question that I would answer. You're the only one that can answer that. You understand, Phil, that what I do is I'm a capitalist. I make money, and I hire people. I'm part of the business class. You and most of the people listening are part of that working class, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need you. But why would you do that? That's what I was going to ask you, but I realized I probably caught you off guard.
Why would I do what? You need to be...
Why would you post a story about British Petroleum capping the well and the fact that the stock price has fallen or has risen, and you never once picked the phone up to tell me?
I didn't know that was something you wanted me to do.
I buy time on your show. I am a sponsor. I hire people. I am part of a capitalist class in America and around the world that hires and expands business. I hire people. I expand my capital. I invest my capital into capital improvement so that I can get other people to work. And I need all the information I can get.
Well, Ted...
I'm not saying anything because I suddenly find myself I'm very angry.
You're angry at me for not calling you personally and telling you that BP's had capped the oil well, and I don't hear what happened.
I don't know.
Well, call him back, will you please? Because we've still got time before the break.
Right.
Did he hang up on me? We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, and obviously he's a sponsor of our show. Now, yes, we got information yesterday, as you all did, that BP had capped the well, and I don't know whether any of you noticed the story, but I did, that the price of BP stock was beginning to make a rebound. In other words, people were investing back in British Petroleum stock. The company looked like it was going to be on the rise again. You got them? but
yeah.
Mr. Bell?
Yeah.
Ted, I mean,
I got to tell you something. I am so, boy, I've got to get some kind of a deal on this because you knew that British Petroleum stock was going up.
Ted, I didn't know that I was your stockbroker.
You're not my stockbroker, but you're a member of the media. I know people in the media. I know a lot of people in the media. I know all the guys from, I know Fritz Coleman, I know Fred Rogan, I know Ann Martin, I know them all. I know everybody in local Los Angeles media, and I could call them, but I rely on you.
And you rely on me to what? To
if you've got information like that, and you know that I'm a member of the business class, meaning I hire people, I need to know that British Petroleum stock is going up so I can buy. As it turned out, Marcy's family, and you know that Marcy's father and mother both are in the investment business.
Yeah.
Her father bought himself a pantload of that stock. And I got, they were at dinner last night. These are things you don't know.
Your in-laws came for dinner.
Yeah, but these are things I don't tell you. They came over for dinner, and the entire meal, her father kept glancing up at me with that the kind of smile.
No, I don't know the kind of smile.
But yes, you do know the kind of, like, when a guy looks at you like, man, you are one stupid blank, blank, blank. And... I'm gonna be very serious with you, Mr. Hendry.
All right, look, I don't mean to laugh, but I got to tell you,
when you saw that the BP stock was going up, you should have put a call into me so that I could place a purchase order. See, this doesn't mean anything to you, and to a lot of the people that listen to your program, and to a lot of the people that work with you, and to a lot of the people that you may socialize with. It doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't mean anything to you because you don't really operate a very big business, if you operate a business at all. You are not an individual that everyone looks to hire people. You're not an individual that people look to buy supplies like I do. Guys like me, see, I'm Ted Bell, and the name Ted Bell in this part of the world means jobs, stakes, Ted Bell. And that means economy. When you see news that says British Petroleum, their stock price is going up, and you don't recognize that as significant, it's because when you're off, Phil, you're bowling, you're drinking beer, you're sleeping. When I'm off, I'm never off. I gotta think, I gotta sweat, I gotta worry. My guts are in my throat. And then you don't tell me about stock price going up. And that's just one more bitter pill I've got to swallow. And so that's why I hung the phone up. That's how angry I am.
I apologize, okay?
Well, it's not doing me any good. It doesn't do me any good, you apologizing. What you need to do is spend less time talking to these people on the website and all of this Facebook. Spend less time with that. And less time with that Twitter, and more time sitting down and finding out what I need. And I had the discussion with David Hall.
I can't become your stockbroker.
I'm not asking you to become my stockbroker. I'm simply asking you that when you get news like that, you pick up the phone and call me. BP stock went up. I didn't buy. That's on you. That's not me.
877-876-PHIL. I did tell him I didn't hang up on him. 877-876-PHIL. When British Petroleum stock started on the rise yesterday, were you guys aware of it? And had you been aware of it, would you have called your boss or called someone you knew with money to buy British Petroleum stock to help them make money so they could have more hiring power? That's what Ted Bell is talking about right now. That members of the working class, we got to look out for guys like him. And when BP stock started climbing yesterday after capping the well, and he didn't find out about it, he blames me. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
From Ted to Beverly Hills, I'm talking to Phil Hendry. I want to be very clear. I am not saying I'm better than anybody else, but I am a VIP, and I need the information. Well,
hold on.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
Yeah, there's just, you know, not enough time.
All right, hold on. Ted Bell with us from Ted to Beverly Hills. The price of British Petroleum stock today was $37.10. I don't know what it was 2 days ago. I've asked for that, and we don't have it yet.
Well, you know, it was a lot lower.
That's impossible. British Petroleum stock was $36.10 2 days ago before the well was capped. The well was capped yesterday. Now, give me the price of this stock before this well was capped, please.
Well, yeah, you're right. It was $37.10. It didn't go up $1 because they capped the well. But here's the thing that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the idea that is David Hall.
Well, let's get David on the line here. David, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, and I'm trying to figure out what it is you're trying to say, Phil. Ted, I think, is being very clear. He's saying that he is a sponsor. He's a member of the capitalist class, which is the business class.
And I know. These are the guys that make the jobs.
Right. When you have information about the price of stock, then, and I got the low was $35.89 after the cap. It went to $39.43 today. Well, that still doesn't answer your question.
No, it doesn't. I asked what was the price before the cap, and I still can't get it.
Here's the thing, Phil. I knew that the price was going up, and you didn't say anything to me.
Right.
That's what we're trying to figure out.
I didn't say anything to him. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to call him up? And
yes, if you knew.
All right, let me get to a phone call here, because this individual, I don't know if it's a woman or a man. Jackie, you've got a very good point. How about a stockbroker? Is this Jackie?
Yes, this is Jackie. Yeah,
hi, Jackie.
If he's
go ahead.
Such a well-known person, he should have a stockbroker. There's news. There's the web.
Yes.
And that should not.
Stockbroker, I got something better though. I got a friend in the media. These guys.
Well, if you got friends in the media, then why didn't they call you?
Exactly. Exactly my point.
So you know you can't take it out on one person. You need to take it out on all.
What I'm saying is this. I'm in the restaurant business, Jackie, and I'm going to put it to you as bluntly as I can. Do you know how much free booze and free steaks?
Wait a minute, man. I don't get freebies from you.
I don't mean the restaurant business. Who cares? I don't care about that. You're talking
I'll tell
about
you why.
Stock.
Because maybe you know who you know who Bill Legatuda is?
No, I sure don't.
Well, he's on.
This is
well,
the first time I've listened to the station.
He's on national television.
And we all know you're
and
Ted
yes, you do.
No,
Ed
the lady,
Bell.
My name is Ted Bell.
Well, Ted Bell, you should have been with the gentleman that was before you because all we heard about was that he was a gay and he was a journalist and kept repeating it.
Well, man, I don't know
and you
about
keep repeating
problems,
that.
But like I said,
If you're such a well-known person and make all this money, give people jobs, you should have a stockbroker that should call you immediately. You have the news. You have the web. You have people in the media all over from what I gather.
Watch this, Phil. I'm going to make a point. This will be a great point. Watch this.
All right.
Jackie, how much was BP stock last week? You don't know.
I don't know.
You know why?
I don't care.
You know why you don't? Because you don't do what I do. I hire, I expand business, I make money for people. You don't.
Okay.
You are the beneficiary of me making
stuff,
a job.
If you do all this stuff and you're well known, then your well-known people should call you up to tell you all this. Not the gentleman on the radio.
What do you mean, the Bill Legatuda? Wait a minute for a second here. Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about people that you know very well. I'm talking about the guy over there at ESPN, Chris Myers. These guys, you know the free booze. Do you know?
Look, at Ted, if you were giving out freebies and comping people dinner and drinks, that's your business, okay?
No. That's not my business. That means what they do is they come front and center with the information when I need it. And not one of you guys came up with, hey, Ted, you may want to buy because BP's on the way up.
Why am I the beneficiary of all the heat today?
I don't feel so special. I was on the phone with some of these guys. Now, this lady here who doesn't understand, ma'am, let me ask you, do you know what a stock, you know what stocks are, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Then you know that you buy low and you sell high.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but you know what?
Well, Mr. Hendry,
that's not, you know, I have friends too, but they don't call me up to give me all the information. If I'm not smart enough to look at the television or look at the web and you're worried about
what?
Stocks,
what do you need information for?
That's on you. That's on you.
What do you need? I don't understand what you need information for. What do you need?
Well, maybe she needs information for a lot of things.
Like what?
I said if you need information, you can pull it up. There's other resources.
Absolutely.
All right, did you just hear what she said? If I need information, I can pull it. That, to me, is the kind of crudity that...
She didn't say that. She said, pull it up. All right, we're going to take a break here. Jackie, thanks so much. 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Ted Bell about the British Petroleum leak, about the British Petroleum cap, about the price of British Petroleum stock going up. Meaning there is confidence in the company again, and he didn't hear anything about it, and he's blaming everybody in the media that he knows. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Phil, talking with Ted Bell. We also have David Hall.
Where is this commercial? Yeah.
Sorry, but we had a bunch of stuff going on behind the scenes here.
Oh, I asked you for what was the price of that oil before the cap? Yeah, where is it?
I don't know, man. I just don't know. I don't know. For some reason, it's magically impossible to find out.
Well, what do you mean? I want to know what the price of the oil was.
The fact is, the oil was low, and you could have bought it low, and you didn't.
Yeah, because you didn't tell me. But what was the price?
I don't know.
I'll find it. Don't worry.
I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills about the price of BP. I know that it went to $37.10.
It was $37.10 on the day that they capped the well, but before that,
I was told that it's 7% below that.
What does that mean? I don't know. What does 7% mean?
Well, you guys are the business people, you know.
I'm a businessman, yes, Phil. I am a businessman. You're right. I am a businessman. I also have an accountant. So I don't know. When you say 7% of 37, I don't know what that is.
All right, well, 10% of 37.50 is 10% is $3.70. Okay, so 7%, it must have been about
$2. Oh, bull crap. I remember when the price of BP oil was down around $15, $20 a share.
I'm just telling you what it was I was told before we went on. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Paul on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Mr. Bell.
What are you doing with the calls here?
Well, we're taking some phone calls from people.
Yeah, the reason I was calling Bill, Bell, is because if you are such a businessman, you would have yourself a stock broker and wouldn't rely on just the radio station of the people that you sponsor. Because he's not responsible
for... That's what a regular guy does. A regular guy relies on a stock broker. Ted Bell relies.
Well,
I get my information from all kinds of people. That's how you make money.
Obviously, you're not getting good enough information because if you can't have somebody call you. Now, let me ask you a question. Since you're a big snake guy, do you call all your clients and all of your friends and neighbors and say, "Hey, I got steak on sale this week. Come on down, or can I come to your place and get pissed off at you what? Because you didn't tell me you had steak on sale? You said you
I don't know what you're talking about. No.
You just say,
I'm talking about investing in the stock market to expand my business. What are you trying to expand with my steak? I can only guess.
Well, wait a minute.
What are you talking about?
Businessman, okay? If you're
I am a businessman, and if I can find out,
what line
here it is right here. I just got it. Day before the cap was 35.89, and it was 37.10, so that's 36.10, carry the two. Yeah, that's about 7%.
Right.
Okay, so you're telling me that all these people out here that make all these people out here that make a lot of money and have a lot of investments out there in Hollywood don't have stockbrokers or investment advisors. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because
I'm telling you that I have very select contacts with the media. These guys in the media know more than stockbrokers know because they are looking at everything. They're looking at all the information. Hendry, as simple as his website, where a lot of these guys go and say stupid stuff, why didn't he pick the phone up and tell me?
Because he's not responsible to. It's not his job.
Because he doesn't think. No, because he doesn't think like a guy who makes money thinks. And you don't think like a guy who makes money. Who did you call? Did you call anybody?
I don't need to call anybody because I'm on.
When you found out that the cap got put on that well, did you immediately make a call to your broker?
I don't need to because I am a broker.
You know why you didn't? You are a broker.
Yeah, because I'm my own broker. So I don't need to call everybody else, and I don't need to rely on listening to the radio station.
How much BP stock did you buy?
I didn't buy a damn thing.
There you go. You blew it.
That's my point. I didn't blow anything.
You blew it. You blew it.
Now, why do you say he blew it?
Because BP's coming back big. Everyone knows it. And everyone's climbing on board.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, Paul. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on here to Mike. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir. This is very interesting
Ted,
in terms of how people get information.
Whiner. You're whining, Ted. I think you're upset because your father-in-law.
You know what I do in my life? I make complaints against guys that screw me up.
Maybe they got a potato and they didn't call you. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what I do? I make complaints against guys that screw me up. That's what I do. And when someone sticks it to me, and, you know, what does he mean, a bad baked potato?
I don't know. Here's Tim. Tim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Ted, it's your responsibility.
Oh,
if that stock was that important to you, you would keep an eye on it. Everybody else is watching it. Everybody knew it was going to be capped this weekend. Yeah,
everybody knew it was going to be capped this weekend.
That's your responsibility. If you want BP stock that bad, you keep an eye on it. You buy it while it's low. It's not Phil's responsibility to call you.
Did you buy it?
No, why would I? I don't care about BP. BP is still going to be paying for the cleanup.
You don't care about BP.
Did you buy Apple stock when they came out with the iPad or the iPhone?
Oh, wait a minute. You mean the one that the recall on the iPhone 4? No.
Yeah. Did you buy stock in it?
No, I did not.
Yeah,
did you know
it was going to be recalled? I don't think so.
Yes, I did. That's how
you know it was going to be recalled.
How did you know that?
Anybody else
how did you know that?
I knew it stunk from the day, from the get-go, when everybody was complaining about it. Everybody.
It's going to go up.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Buy yourself a bunch. Apple's done. They're done. They're going to have a recall on this iPhone, and people are going to lose confidence.
Not capping this thing 90 days earlier? You're dumb for not going and buying the stock before it was capped.
What difference does it make to me if I didn't buy it at 26? I would have bought it at before it was capped if Hendry would have told me.
See, that's just it. You're blaming me.
You didn't care about it beforehand, and now you're just pissed off because Phil didn't tell you anything that you should have known.
I want to know about... there's a reason why I have friends in the media.
Yeah, we know, because they're going to give you the information. Because
hold on for a minute, Phil. This is David. I don't want you arguing with a sponsor. Now, this guy can argue because he doesn't start going to cost any money.
About. It's not Phil's responsibility. It's your responsibility if you want to stock that bad.
Why is it not Phil's responsibility if Ted Bell, I don't know where this gentleman's calling from. Where is he calling from?
He's calling from Boston.
Okay, he doesn't know Ted Bell. Do you know Ted Bell?
I don't care. Sir? I don't care about Ted Bell.
No. I didn't ask if you cared. Do you know?
And you don't.
No,
all
I,
right,
you know what? I probably care about
no,
Steve
you know,
Jobs or Bill Gates. You sell steak.
You know what?
Big deal. You run a restaurant. Big deal. It's not about
Wait
your steak.
Minute.
It's not about your restaurant. It's about BP.
Let me tell you something. It is about BP, and I got someone turned me around and branded me. They put a red-hot branding iron on my you-know-what that said stupid because they didn't do their job. And I live,
you know,
I have to
know,
walk
all
the
these
earth.
People, you know all these people in the media, but nobody else calls you, and now you're going to blame it on Phil.
I got to walk the earth with that on my, and I'll say it, on my ass for the rest of my life. Because Phil Hendry...
Why don't you call up Fritz Coleman or some of these other guys you know and tell them how they let you down by not giving you the heads up on BP? Thanks very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I don't think the media people got the inside scoop on this, because if you were watching the news when they capped the well, they already started talking about the stocks were going to be going up. And most of the experts are already saying that the stock is going to have to go back down because of the cleanup expense.
Why didn't they tell me about it?
Why didn't who tell you about it? You just, this gentleman here saw it, okay? And people are saying the price of that stock is going to drop again because of the cleanup.
Well, it'll go down because of the cleanup, but then they'll clean it up. And then guess what? It goes back up again because, you know why? They're still pulling oil out of that well. So I think if I buy now and it drops to, say, $20 a share, and you're going to say, oh, well, why are you getting pissed off because now it's $20 a share? And I'll say, I'm pissed because the reality of $20 a share bothers me. But then it'll go back up again, and I'll probably have sold. And you know why? Because you didn't say anything to me.
Because oh, get out of here. I didn't say anything to you. Hey, make sure, Ted, that you don't sell while the price is low. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. 12 places not to see before you die.
What's that mean?
It means there's 12 places. Apparently there was a guy that wrote a book, 101 places. He wrote a book. Oh, she wrote a book. Travel writer Catherine Price has experienced dozens of them. And she wrote a book called 101 Places Not to See Before You Die. Well, what if some guy wrote a book of 101 places to see before you die? I don't know what the hell. So,
I think that was a guy that wrote a book about places you should see, like a bucket list.
Yeah, what about the bucket list?
Not the bucket list. That's not got nothing to do with this. There's something else. There's somebody else wrote a book about places you ought to go see before you croak. Anyway, here is the story about the lady that wrote this. 12 places not to see before you die. Actually, it's from her book, 101 places not to see before you die. Here are some of her most memorably awful destinations. So if you don't go to these places, it'll be cool.
Well, I mean, should I avoid it, or what do you think about it?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, Corbett's Corner in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. This double black diamond ski slope on Rendezvous Mountain is one of the most dangerous in the world, thanks to a 30-foot free fall onto a 55-degree slope surrounded by jagged rocks. This must-miss spot for anyone who would prefer not to meet their doom on skis. Corbett's Couleur, I guess.
What's that, a drink?
No, it ain't a drink.
Yeah, you said liqueur.
I didn't. I said Corbett's Couleur. I don't know what that means. Corbett's liqueur. Another one, Four Corners Monument. According to Price, there's nothing to do at the only point where four states intersect. You mean there's a monument to that? I knew that there were four states, New Mexico, Utah, Arizona, and Colorado. New Mexico, Utah.
Let me get a map.
What are you getting a map for?
So you can see.
I can see it. I know what the maps look like. In my mind, I can see it.
What do you mean in your mind, man? Go get the map.
Yeah, I can't see nothing.
Yeah, well, you idiots. You guys couldn't find America on a map. It's four states. It's Arizona, Utah, and whatever the hell. What did I say?
You said Arizona and Utah, New Mexico, and California, I think. I don't know.
California? No, man. New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah. That's the Four Corners Monument. Now, the main tourist activity, says this lady, Catherine Price, is getting down on all fours so you can take a picture of yourself in each state. Well, how big is the boundary line, though, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to say, what is that?
Yeah, because if the boundary's thick, how do you know you got to get on all four?
Well, you got to get on all fours so you can touch each state. But where, you know, I don't know. Is the boundary like a certain width?
I know it is on the map. It's like a big black line, but I don't know how wide that is.
Well, that ain't the real boundary, man.
Yeah, well, what is it then?
They put that down there just so you get a general idea. That's not the boundary. Isn't a big, thick black line.
Well, what is that then?
That's just so they can show you the state's boundaries, where the actual boundary is.
Well, how big is it?
I don't know. I mean, a boundary between two states, it's probably, there must be some legal definition, but in truth, it's probably something that is infinite or,
What? What do you mean infinite, man? It gotta be like a boundary.
Well, I don't mean infinite, but I mean it's, you can't.
What are you talking about? But give me that.
Yeah, what?
Right here, see that?
Yeah.
What is that?
That's the state of California.
Yeah, but what's that?
That's a boundary line.
Okay. That's probably about 2 miles wide.
You're an idiot. You know why you're an idiot? Because that's just a black line, man.
But how big would you say that is?
Forget it, man. That's not the boundary, man. That's a black line to show you where California and Arizona separate. The boundary's 2 miles wide. Anyway, if you can get down on all fours and be in four states, I got news for you, Jack. You can't. The boundary ain't 2 miles wide.
Yeah, you want to know something else? If you get down on all fours in four states, you're going to be in trouble because of the laws.
What do you mean?
Sodomy. And will you shut up about that, man? I was talking about you got a really crude mind. You said about getting on all fours.
So that one hand can touch one state. Another hand can touch it. I'm going to belch you, man. One hand touches one state, another hand touches another state, your other foot, you're in four states. What are you laughing at?
That means that your thing is hanging over the curtain.
Just shut up.
What do you mean a thing, man?
Look, okay, so that's the Four Corners Monument. Big wow. All it did was get us into an argument about being on all fours. Now, Ibiza in Spain on a family vacation. I remember one time I saw a movie called Young and Free in Ibiza. That was the name of the movie.
Yeah, was it cool?
Well, it had a lot of nudity, man. And I remember thinking, wow, this must be what people do in the summer in Spain. They go to Ibiza. Because it was all these topless chicks. I mean, it was a nonstop party. So I thought, I mean, obviously, and here it is, don't take your family on a vacation there. Located in the Mediterranean Sea, this sun-drenched Spanish island is no place for a beach vacation with kiddies. Ibiza is famous for clubbing, promiscuity, and an abundance of illicit drugs, says Catherine Price. A favorite holiday destination for the world's horniest youth, Ibiza's flesh-bearing clientele and encouragement of casual sex have earned it the nickname Gomorrah of the Mediterranean.
What's that?
Sodom and Gomorrah?
Yeah, you heard about that?
Uh-uh.
That's in the Bible, Gomorrah, and they committed these sins.
Yeah, like Sodom, you know what that one is.
Yeah, what's Gomorrah?
What was Gomorrah?
I don't know.
It was another sin.
Is that the sin of being straight?
The sin of being straight. What, you say that because of sodomy?
Yeah, if Sodom is sodomy, Gomorrah must be like gonorrhea or something.
Gonorrhea? I don't know, bud.
You should know.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I should know, man. I should have known what the price of BP stock was, but I didn't. Gomorrah, the sin of heterosexuality. How do I know, man? But that happens to be what they call it, the Gomorrah of the Med. Maybe it is, because there's all of these. They don't call it the Sodom of the Med. The largest rock, this is the Blarney Stone. Get a load of this, man. This is another big, fat, wasted amount of time, according to Catherine Price, in the 12 places not to see before you die. So we've said that this Corbett's Kallur in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, a 30-foot free fall onto a 55-degree slope, you'll die as sure as God made you if you're a skier. Then there's the Four Corners Monument where four states meet,
big wow. Then there's Ibiza, Spain on a family vacation. I mean, I'm sure dad could have a lot of fun just sitting and gawking, but it's a drug and sex infested hole filled with chlamydia. Oh, God.
Dad, I knew you're not serious.
I'm not. I don't know what to say, man. All right, the Blarney Stone.
What the Blarney Stone is when you're full of, like, what, that's what the Irish people call BS, right?
Yeah. Isn't that right?
Yeah, Blarney. Blarney is BS. The Blarney Stone actually exists. It's in wherever the hell it is, Ireland. It's a huge rock set in the battlements of Blarney Castle near the Irish town of Cork in the 1300s. It is said to bless those who kiss it with the gift of eloquence. Blarney.
Kiss what?
Kiss the stone.
Oh.
The stone's actual powers, what'd you think? Kiss somebody's rear end?
Yeah, that's what you was thinking, wasn't it?
It was.
Hey, bud, you know what, man? Cool it, because you're not funny.
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, I know, but you're not funny. The stone's actual powers are debatable, says Price. Really? But one thing's for sure, the Blarney Stone is a germaphobe's nightmare. Boy, no kidding. Kissed by more than 400,000 people per year, it's covered with trace bits of spit left behind with every pucker. Wow.
Oh, man. That probably swine flu H1N1 heaven, man.
Yeah. Bitch, and people wear masks there and everything.
You know, what's the point of wearing a mask there, man? If you're going to take your mask off and kiss the Blarney Stone, you're going to get whatever diseases are left behind. All right, the next one is Kingman Reef. Although the water around the small Pacific Ocean reef 1,000 miles south of Hawaii is teeming with marine life and coral, a visit is hardly worth the trouble, says Price. Kingman Reef is an uninhabited spit of smashed coral and shells decorated by occasional pieces of human-made flotsam, plastic bottles, broken bits of styrofoam, and a large number of widowed flip-flops. So it's just a big garbage dump. Organ Pipe Cactus National Monument, located in Arizona and the U.S.-Mexico border. Organ Pipe, which is why most people go, is a national park known for more... What are you looking at?
That's pretty crude.
Oh, really? You're the guy that came up with, you know, Gomorrah and chlamydia.
Now, what do they call that? They call it the chlamydia of the med.
No, they don't, man. Anyway, Organ Pipe and then Stonehenge. Oh, she says Stonehenge is a big yawner. Juarez, Mexico sucks. Black Rock City during the Burning Man Festival blows. Gloucester cheese rolling is just forget it. And the mummies of Guanajuato. How about that, huh?
Phil Hendry.
And the Winchester Mystery House.
The shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
There are reports that Charlie Sheen could be leaving his hit show Two and a Half Men.
Any reasonable person looking critically at the evidence currently in the public domain.
These men are mimicking Jesus' walk to Calvary.
Concentrating on my music.
More than a million cases of chlamydia were reported in the U.S. during 2006.
And that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we go wherever we gotta go to entertain you and to illustrate, you know, through the looking glass, this entire thing called talk radio opinion news. I guarantee you there is no other talk show on the air like this one, and there isn't a talk show on the air such as this one that has more of a devoted following, and it includes some pretty heavy people like Glenn Beck and Howard Stern. Anyway, the number 877-876-PHIL. How do you celebrate Good Friday? In the Philippines, you nail yourself to a cross. That and more coming up. Plus, your pilot can now fly while on antidepressants. That's good news as far as I'm concerned. 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight. Greensboro, Winston, North Carolina, WSJS 600 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas, KDXE at 1380. We are very, very grateful to have both these great stations on our network, and we are also planning on welcoming aboard the cities of Buffalo, New York, Reno, Nevada, and Grand Forks, North Dakota. Coming up next week here on The Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Now, the story today... And I will tell you this, you know, it's a funny thing about health care and the Tea Party. All of these stories seem to, at times, like tributaries that will meet and join a river for a few miles and then sort of disperse again. That's kind of the way these news stories go. There's a very, very definite linkage between senior citizens, healthcare, obviously, and, you know, the Tea Party, things like that. We're going to talk here in a moment with Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police about seniors and this burgeoning number of them. One in four of our elderly will need care decisions made for them, made for them. I don't know why I'm saying our elderly. I guess I'm one of them, man. I'm 57. I guess by the time all this stuff really starts heating up, I'm going to be one of these guys that'll be sitting in a chair and somebody's got to decide whether they should flush it or not, you know? How do you like that, man? Anyway, a significant number of the elderly, more than one in four, will eventually need someone to make end-of-life decisions about their medical care, according to a new study. The result illustrates the value of people making their wishes known in a living will and designating someone to make treatment decisions for them, according to this research. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, you have a database?
Oh, that is correct, Phil.
And is this database something that contains a lot of names, right, and a lot of people? I mean, I can't even imagine how you begin to amass the names of senior citizens who may need these kinds of end-of-life decisions made for them.
Well, Phil, first of all, thanks for having us back on your program tonight.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. This is a decision that sometimes these families are too distraught to make. Families may not be around at the time to make these decisions. Families may not be able to find, we may not be able to find the families. What we've done at the Citizens Auxiliary Police is we have taken it upon ourselves, part of our senior database, to collect as much information as we can, to go out and to interview some of our seniors and find out what kind of end-of-life decision should be made for them. This is a very easy process. The difficult part is, as you said, you know, keeping a database, but we are able to put it into computers on hard disk. We have now legal pad. And I'm a little bit nervous tonight, Phil, because I just got.
No, you're doing a good job. Just tell me about. So what you're doing, if the elderly need these end of life decisions made, and what kind of end of life decisions are we talking about, Jay?
Right. What we're talking about is this person going to need assistance moving around? Are they going to be cognizant? Will this person, God forbid, is this person going to need decisions made in terms of life and death? What kind of nursing home will this person need? Are they going to? What kind of medical insurance? What kind of hospital equipment will they need in their own home if they're not in a hospital? And you do need power of attorney if the individual does not have the cognizance for these end-of-life decisions. So what we do is we go out into the malls, at a lot of places here in the South Bay and Southern California, and a lot of the other ones, Citizens Auxiliary groups like Gator Brigade, Beaver Battalion, New York Simulated Police, the West Texas Range Riders, these other groups that we're familiar with, we'll go out and take down the names and do an assessment right there.
Are you making appointments with senior citizens, or are you just knocking on doors?
In some instances, we'll just knock on doors. In other instances, we could be out in a public arena like a mall or a movie theater or in a supermarket or out in a department store, what have you, and we will assess the senior citizen, ask them their age up to a point, if they're capable of answering a question. And then we will assess and make that decision at that time. Where will they be 5 years from now?
All right, so the senior citizens you're talking to are not yet at risk, right?
No, they're not yet ready. But what we're doing is getting them ready, because at the time that they need to make this decision, they're not going to be, capable of doing that.
So give me a typical assessment that you will do so that these seniors will have this decision made for them and that their later life obviously is a little bit more comfortable.
Well, for instance, last Monday, we had a very kind of a difficult time because this gentleman was very talkative, he was very cognizant, he was very bright, but he was in a wheelchair. He was in a mobile hospital transport that was more of a flex kind of wheelchair.
So I looked at him, and I realized that he was someone who obviously had mental capacity, but he did not have physical capacity. That probably means that he will have to be in some kind of a psychiatric ward because of the fact that he talks a lot, but he's in a wheelchair. And there'll be some suspicion. So we went ahead and marked down on a chart, you know, a mental facility or a psychiatric facility for him.
Well, wait, I don't understand that.
In what way?
Why, you're talking to an elderly man. Did you get his name?
Yes, we got his name. We got his basic statistics, his height, his weight, as far as he knew them.
And so you said because he was talkative, but he's in a wheelchair, that you think a psychiatric facility.
When he's older. We're not talking now, Phil. We're not talking now.
Yeah, but why when he's older?
Because of this very loquacious manner the man had. Very, very loquacious, very talkative, and yet he's in a he's incapacitated. He's almost tied in. The older you get and the more you are communicative in this very loquacious, rapidly loquacious manner, and yet you have to be strapped into a chair. The idea around people around you are probably going to think that you're, if I'm going to use a term, a cuckoo or kind of kooky. Not that you are, okay? Not that you are. But we have to consider that.
So you're going to take a man who is perfectly healthy, just understand, you know, Jay, a man who's talking and put him in a psychiatric facility.
Just for the moment. That's one of the options. The other option is that he's fine and can be left alone. Although he needs to be checked on, obviously, because he doesn't have full locomotion. And that's where we have cameras set up at the doors. Because someone in a wheelchair, Phil, there's a 90% chance that an elderly person in a wheelchair is going to go down those steps. And that's, you know, show's over.
What do you mean show? You mean they're going to be, it could be fatal?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have to make that decision. There are a lot of these decisions. We talked to an elderly woman. Who was walking on a walker. She did not look well. We figure that she is most likely going to be a candidate for just determination if the doctor says you don't have any choice. You have to pull the plug. And so that's what we put on our chart.
But you don't know these people, and you don't really know if there's not going to be family around.
No, we don't, Phil.
So how are you going to make these decisions?
Well, we ask for the power of attorney only in end-of-life decisions. Got nothing to do with
power of attorney they're giving you.
Only an end-of-life decision. It's got nothing to do with their money. It has nothing to do with property. It only has to do with the disposition of the elderly person himself and whether that person can live on their own. Obviously, the older someone gets, the more they have to be in an assisted facility. Whether putting them in an assisted facility is worth it, or should they go directly into a mental institute or a psychiatric institution, or just be put... I don't want to use the word they use, put down or.
Well, that's the term they use for dogs.
Yeah, I guess.
Terminating the, you know, if they're so sick, someone has to make the decision to pull the plug.
That is correct, yes, sir. Now, we've used the term as shorthand, they're put down or they're put to sleep, but.
Well, that's a term that's used for the.
Veterinarian.
Exactly, yeah. All right, Jay Santos with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. These end-of-life decisions that the senior citizens are not capable of making, you guys at the Citizens Auxiliary Police are making them for these people. But they're total strangers.
Well, you say they're total strangers. Not after we're done talking to them, especially what if there is no family around? What if there is no person can make a decision like this? I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you this much, Phil. Look at all the money we've wasted on doctors trying to keep people from becoming more sick. We do have a database. We have computers. We've got a lot of computers. And that's where you keep records now. If you're familiar, records are kept on computers. And we do have computers.
Yeah, that's I understand that.
All right. And the other thing is that there's going to be a lot of senior citizens who are not going to be capable of making these end-of-life decisions still that they need to make. We have accepted this challenge at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It's not something we want to do, but we will take it upon ourselves to record what those end-of-life decisions should be and make sure they get to the right people. And
well, now, when you say get to the right people, before we take a break, what do you mean by that?
Well, if the person goes into the hospital, we can go to the doctor and say, this is what the assessment is this person should have. You know, unfortunately, have the plug, you know, take the plug out of the wall or not, or put into some other facility.
that maybe a, you know, a whole facility or something with extra protection or security, you know, double locked doors, that kind of thing.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our senior citizens who cannot make these decisions for themselves, end-of-life decisions, where are they going to be in the hospital? Who will pull the plug if you need to pull the plug? What kind of wheelchair are they going to have? And if there's no family around, who will make the decision? Mr. Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, one of many groups, I guess, volunteering to do this. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Jay Santos and talk more about this in a moment.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And this is a rather involved conversation we're having here tonight with Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, you guys are, so people know, you're not an official police force.
Yeah, Phil, you and I have had this conversation.
Now, I know we've had the conversation, but I feel that I need to have to get this out there.
This has got nothing to do with law enforcement. This is a public service that we are providing. We're doing this at our own cost, at our own expense. We're going to senior citizens, and we're finding out, assessing where they are going to eventually wind up.
Well, you're assessing senior citizens, and you're saying, well, this one here is going to have to be in assisted living. This one here is going to need a wheelchair. This one here will probably need the plug pulled, and I don't know how you do that, you know.
Well, Phil, I'm not saying this one's going to need the plug pulled. We were following an elderly woman who was in a grocery store down here in Torrance last weekend.
When you say you're following an elderly woman, what are you doing?
We are tracking her. We are watching her. Why the question?
Well, if I were her, I would feel a little intimidated.
This woman, I can assure you, I don't know if she knew that there was anybody around her. And that's why we went ahead and gave her a red check. And said, you know, I gave her a tip of the pistol and I was on my way.
Well, what does that mean? The red check is the plug gets pulled?
That was our assessment, yes, sir. That was our assessment.
Did you talk to her?
We got her name. And
she gave you her name?
Well, in that case, a lot of these people will say hi and they give you Helen. And they don't give you a last name. But we can figure where she lives, what her last name is. You feel that this is intrusive.
I think that it's a little intrusive if you're following an elderly woman. Then you put a red check next to her and you say, you are going to make that decision.
I'm going to take this information to the hospital where she eventually is going to wind up. Because this is the tragedy of old age, Phil. I didn't make this world. That woman is bound to fall downstairs. She's bound to fall down a flight of stairs. I don't know what. And then there's going to be a hospital visit, and they're going to need someone there to say, here's the information on her, and as far as we were able to determine, she is probably at some point going to need to have those life-supporting services suspended.
As far as you were concerned?
That is correct, yeah.
All right.
Because, again, there's only four, you know, one out of four elderly going to need these care decisions. What are we going to do? There's no family around there.
Well, when you say that you're looking at this old lady and you have decided that you got to pull the plug on her, and that's not for a while, it all seems, I guess, very mechanical, you know?
Well, I know, Phil, but we have to be efficient, and I didn't make this world, and I'm not the one that left that poor old woman to wander a supermarket by herself, holding a box of dried noodles, and that was it. She was there for an hour.
877-877 need care decisions made for them. Here is Sharon. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Yes. Hi. Phil?
Hi.
I cannot believe the trash coming from this guy's mouth. I'm sorry. I'm listening to you from Rhode Island, and I've listened to you many times and enjoy your show. And
thank you.
Basically, if he was to track me over the last 5 years, it would put me down. Friends and family.
You're not elderly. You don't sound elderly to me. Let's talk about senior citizen.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, if he's tracking the elderly for this, I mean, what to say his group isn't going to say, okay, with this new medical plan and we need to save money where we can, we'll just stop treating and you know, make plans for people as they get younger. In my case, I'm in my 40s. I'm still working. I work a full-time job. But there are
what about
a lot
that, Jay?
Of people
well,
that we're not doing well.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to look at you. And if you fall down and you break your leg, or I know you're a young woman, but at what point do you decide that you're really not any good for anything? I'm not going to say any good for anything, but at what point do you decide you're not really any good to anybody? You know, do you want to make that decision? Do I make that? How do you do that?
Well, she
well,
makes the decision. She's a young woman, all right?
She's a young woman now, yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry, ma'am. I interrupted.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If I'm, you know, if you're saying, you know, you don't know if these people have family members. Well,
exactly.
Why wouldn't it be their family who takes care of them? Their
well,
family that
point.
Helps to make the decision.
That's a very good point. But what if the family's not there? What if I happen to be at the hospital and the family's 200 miles away? I don't know where they are. If you, even a young woman like you, were to fall down and you're already, I think you mentioned you're already handicapped, do I say, well, I'm the only one here. I'm Jay Sanis. I took down Sharon's information. As far as I could tell, you have to suspend life support. And
well, wait. You're talking about a young woman here.
But she made the point that she's not doing too good. Or do you feel that you're like what we call pre-senior, Sharon?
Yeah, I have things set up myself because, you know what? My mother is also handicapped, and she has the beginning of Alzheimer's.
Right.
And seeing as how there's Alzheimer's on both sides of the family, I have to take her medical care in my hands. And at some point, someone will have to do it for me. I know this because I've taken the test and I've carried
out?
The gene.
Do you feel tapped out right now, though?
What do you mean, tapped out?
I feel as if she's ready. Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, actually,
she's
dead.
Are you saying that she's ready to die?
Yeah, that's all I'm asking. Is she ready? Are you ready to die? No.
Oh, no, I'm nowhere near ready to die. In fact, I get up every morning, and
I work at
one of the biggest and largest banks in the country and provide financial information to people.
Well, that's very good.
And one of the top producers.
Right.
So
but
I have
you get
a brain,
out.
A mouth.
Let's not use. This is a woman in her 40s, so she's not tapped out, as you put it.
It's a medical term. I didn't mean to say. But Sharon's going to need to make a decision sooner or later for the mother who's got Alzheimer's. And I'll tell you a story, Sharon, and this is very sad. I walked into a home where an old lady was boiling her own underwear, if you can believe that. And when I asked her, what are you doing? She said, I'm making soup. And what do you say then? You say, you know, she's tapped out.
All right. Hold on, Sharon. Thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Boiling her own underwear. We'll be back. Jay Sanis, 1 in 4 elderly need care decisions made for them. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and Phil Hendry Show.
Woo! Phil Hendry.
He's tapped out.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about as we speak tonight to Jay Sanis. He's with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is you don't like me calling it a volunteer police agency.
We've always said, Phil, that we are an auxiliary, and that's all that really needs to be said. We're an auxiliary police agency.
And you are amassing information from senior citizens as to their physical condition, their health, their state of mind, so that you can know what to do with them when those end-of-life decisions come.
Look, if I could interrupt you for just a moment.
Go ahead.
Healthcare costs are skyrocketing. Everybody know it. And it doesn't really look like, I don't know, but to me and a lot of people who observe the news, it doesn't look like Obama's going to make this healthcare plan stick. I don't know. They're looking to repeal it. So we're going to have to do our part, and we're going to have to encourage a lot of these doctors, and I have interviewed a lot of these senior citizens, encourage these doctors to try to if we can keep the costs low. I'm not saying that we want our senior citizens to be uncomfortable. But we do have to make these very quick diagnoses. If I'm talking to someone, as I did, I talked to a lady yesterday. She was very irritable. She didn't want to talk to me. She was very rude. We'll put down, which I think is, I don't think there's anything wrong with writing down that that's a woman who's probably going to need restraints when she is in a facility. Some old man who's very talkative, is it that much of a step to say that probably he's going to need some sort of psychiatric care? And on it goes. You know, we have these old gentlemen who we call the tiny steppers. These are the guys that have no real flexibility in their legs. These guys are going to be tapped out. They talk about tap out.
When you say tapped out, are you saying these are people that are going to have to be have the plug pulled?
That's my anticipation, right. But again, health care costs are going to go through the roof, and we've got to do something to keep it down.
877-876-PHIL with Jay Santos here. Let's go to another phone call tonight. We have Rita in Lewisburg, Tennessee. Rita, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Hi, Phil. How are you tonight?
Yes, ma'am. I'm good. Thank you.
This guy is barbaric. If anybody needs to be put in a mental institution, he does. He sounds
like...
I'd love
for you to tell me why, ma'am. I'd love for you to tell me why. How old are you? I'm 37 years old, ma'am.
Well, you wait till you get to be 70 or 80 and somebody is making the decision whether you're going to live or whether you're not going to live. And you are talking like a Hitler. And you said...
That's ridiculous.
Can I talk, Phil?
Yes, let the lady talk.
I'm not going to let her call me Adolf Hitler. Everyone knows what he did.
All right, I understand, but let the lady make her point.
You're trying to make a perfect society, and I mean, you know, just because somebody's old does not mean they do not have plenty to offer in this world. And the elderly can teach the young people what they know. They have much to offer, even if they're sitting in a wheelchair. And as far as
if the person's tapped, if he's tapped out, there's no way. If the man's tapped out,
this man is crazy.
Well, what do you do with an elderly person who says don't teach me?
No wonder the woman got irritable with him. He needs to be, somebody needs to come and lock him up. What
ma'am,
kind of auxiliary is this?
I will tell you, ma'am, if a man is tapped out, what are you going to learn from him?
Well, when you say tapped out, are you saying he can't speak?
Well, if a guy tapped out, what are you going to learn from a guy that's tapped out? That's my question, Mr. Henry. Tapped to the guy is ready to shuffle off. I don't want to. You want me to use the word?
You are insane.
Do you want me to use the word?
Somebody needs to lock.
Are you talking about if the man is dead? Is that what you're saying?
If he's ready to die, if he's ready to shuffle, yes. What are you going to learn from a man who is in a sealed container?
If he's in a coma, you said that this man sitting in the wheelchair, you were going to send him to a mental hospital. I mean, because he talked and had conversation. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Let me ask a question here, if I could.
People in wheelchairs have very much love to give people, no matter how age they are. A lot of them in wheelchairs are the ones that fought for our country so that we can have freedom, so you can sit there and act like some kind of nut.
Well, ma'am, most of our veterans are treated very well medically, so we don't see a lot of veterans in wheelchairs. The guys that are in wheelchairs from World War One or from Spanish America.
Hold on for a minute. I want to ask a question here, Jay. I want to ask you this question. If a man is talkative and he's a chatty older gentleman, why do you mark him down for eventual commitment to a psychiatric facility?
No, it's not because he's talkative. It's because he's talkative and he's in a wheelchair. Now, I don't know if this lady or you have ever been in a bar where there's a guy in a wheelchair. That's the guy that starts the fight. Guy in a wheelchair.
My mother was in a wheelchair, and she had plenty to offer.
Did she hang out in bars? She was a kind, sweet woman.
No, she didn't hang out in bars, but you're just going and just talking to people. No wonder the woman was annoyed with you yesterday. You are a nut.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying, Philip, you go into a bar, the guy in the wheelchair is the guy that's going to start the fight. And now when you got a guy that's talking to
you. How do you know that, man?
Get out of here. I've been in enough bar rooms. You have, Phil. A guy in a wheelchair, he's the one that's got the gun.
Wait a minute, man. We're not even talking about a guy in a bar. We're talking about an older gentleman who was very affable. He was talking to you. He was friendly.
Exactly.
This
But this man is the one that needs to be put in a mental institution.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm trying to do something that nobody else is doing. I'm trying to see what
you
we can do for
crazy.
Ourselves. You know,
you are
the Obama
crazy.
Thing. Obamacare is going to get repealed.
I've never called into one, and I was sitting here listening to this. I didn't know where it was coming from, and I thought,
you know
I
exactly what I talk
in.
About. And the man said to me, oh, yeah, I was in the Spanish-American War, and that's when I knew this guy eventually is going to have to be locked up.
Why are you going to lock him up for that?
He's
babbling.
First of all, the Spanish-American War, the guy must be...
I can tell you, I'm talking to him about, you know, what hospital do you want to stay in, and he starts blathering on about Cuba, and that's got nothing to do with anything, see? He starts talking to me about the Spanish-American War and blowing up the name.
Maybe he had better talk about that than the point.
Jay, first of all, and I want to thank you very much, Rita, for your phone call, 877-876-PHIL. First of all, I doubt very much if you were talking to a veteran of the Spanish-American War. Secondly...
Right there, the guy is, I don't want to say cuckoo or however you want to put it.
But the point here is that this guy is just, you were asking about his age, right?
Oh, that's about his age. I didn't want him to get into his military record from, they're talking about the rough, going up a rough ride. Or you're saying he took a rough ride. And I didn't know whether we had one of these don't ask, don't tell. Or
the Rough Riders? You mean the Teddy Roosevelt Rough Riders?
I was not familiar with it. All I know is he said, yeah, I'm rough right. And I thought, that's his. I'm not going to say he belongs in a mental institution on account of that. And
he's talking of the Spanish-American War, probably was Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders. What'd you think it meant? That he was gay?
Mr. Henry, we are...
That's what you thought, huh?
We are trying to help this country save money. Obamacare is going to get rolled back. You know it, I know it. She knows it, he knows it. My wife knows it, my kids know it. Guy across the street knows it.
All right, I get the idea. It's going to get rolled back.
All right, and we are going to have to find a way to cut these costs.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. I have Lee on the line. Lee, you're on with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Jay. Could you please tell me what credentials you have to make these decisions?
Well, I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm a brigadier of Admiral Lee organization.
No, what credentials do you have to make these medical and mental decisions?
Well, I like to think that I'm a citizen physician. We have in this country right now a medical establishment that has stolen billions and billions of dollars. And what's going on? I'll tell you what. People are dying.
So you have a degree then?
Let me tell you the degree I've got in. It's called life. I got a degree in life.
I think the gentleman's at. Do you have any degree, Jay, in anything?
I got a degree in life, Mr. Henry.
I don't want a barber working on my car if he's not a mechanic.
The medical establishment is. Do you deny the medical establishment has stolen billions and billions of dollars from American people? Of course you don't deny that. You know that. So we need citizen physicians.
We don't need a citizen physician doing brain surgery, do we?
I'm not talking about that, Mr. Henry. I'm talking about what do we do with an elderly man who's talking to himself in a wheelchair in a parking lot.
Where did you come from?
What do we do with an old lady who's walking around a supermarket for an hour with a box of noodles and she forgot why she went in there? Where do we do that? Who's going to do that? Me? You? Me.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Jay. Do you ever forget something early in the morning?
Sir, it's one thing to forget something. It's another thing to boil your own underwear because you're going to make soup. And that's exactly what we saw when we walked into that woman's home 2 weeks ago over here in La Cañada. She's boiling her own underwear.
You forget your keys to your car to go to work?
You know, that's not the same thing at all. You can forget your keys to your car. Go, I forgot my keys to my car. I'll go back in and get them. But boiling my own underwear, figuring I'm going to sit down and have that for dinner?
Well, maybe she's trying to clean it.
She thought it was,
Well, that is a good point.
It was soup. Soup.
It was soup? Well, maybe she likes
soup.
Kind of soup.
All right. I can tell you're not serious. You know what, sir? I'm doing something. You're sitting on your ass.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more from Jay Santos.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, and welcome back. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, this idea of going around and interviewing elderly people and finding out how they are best going to be served when end-of-life decisions come about. Do you ever try to contact members of their family?
Do I ever try to do what?
Do you ever try to contact members of their family so that you don't find yourself making these decisions?
It's really, I find it very interesting. People are saying they don't want Obamacare, which I don't blame them. I think Obamacare is very socialism, and I'm not in favor of that at all. But we got to do something because Obamacare, which I hope they repeal it. I hope they repeal it. But you know how much these people are going to cost us.
No, my question isn't about Obamacare. It's about, do you contact the families of these people?
I find that it is far more, it's far more easier to simply do a quick assessment, file a paperwork, tip it a tip them, and I'm on my way. I mean,
what do you call a quick assessment? Why not try to contact the family?
If I see a man, I told you that guy was jabbering on about the Spanish-American War. You're trying to tell me that he belongs. So what would you say? Pull the plug?
No, I'm not saying pull the plug. Why does a man belong in a psychiatric hospital?
Spanish-American War? Come on!
Well, that's what I was saying to you.
I know.
I mean, I was telling you that I didn't think he could be a spy. This doesn't necessarily mean that he's crazy. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jack. Go ahead, Jack. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. I want to address that idiot you got on the line there.
Mr. Hendry?
No, he's talking about you.
He's talking about you,
Mr. Santos.
I know about you, Mr. J. Santos. You are right.
I thought you said the idiot. And I assumed you meant Mr. Henry.
That's exactly what
it makes sense.
Shut your mouth and listen.
It's for health care in America.
Will you listen to the guy?
Shut your mouth and listen, man.
Health care in America. I don't let people tell me to shut my mouth.
I've sit here and listen to you rattle that garbage. Let me tell you something. I'm in a wheelchair. I had a stroke 7 years ago. I live by myself. I cook for myself. I wash my own clothes. I go wherever I want to go. And
there you go.
I go all over Nashville. Anywhere in Nashville, I'm a season ticket to a hockey team.
There you go.
I've got an IQ of 130. I give 36 years of my life.
How can you have an IQ of 130 and be a hockey fan?
Okay, Jay.
No, I'm being very serious now.
What did he say?
I said, how can you have an IQ of 130 and be a hockey fan? And by the way,
you ain't nothing but an idiot, just like I told you. I spent 36 years of my life in law enforcement. I've got degrees in it. I've got plaques and accommodation from every federal unit in the United
States. There you go.
I'm not saying you haven't had a good life, sir, but I am saying it's possible you're tapped out.
I tell you what you do. You come to Nashville, Tennessee, and follow me around, and then you won't follow me over five steps.
Bring
your little pad and start following me around, and you'll get your interview. Can an idiot understand that?
Mr. Henry,
do you understand, Jake?
Yes, I do, and I'd like to make an assessment right now, this gentleman.
Because I've been assessing him while he's been talking to me. He says he goes to hockey. I think he's imagining things because everybody knows what hockey in Nashville is. That
they've had a hockey team in Nashville for a number of years.
Well, I was not familiar with that, so okay.
Since 1998. Since 1998.
Yeah. Nashville, the Predators.
That's exactly what? Correct.
The Predators.
That sounds
good. That's exactly correct.
All right, I'll go ahead and do it. All right. Nate says that he has an IQ of 139. Well, that's suspect, too. So if this man's delusional...
Why do you think he's delusional? Because he goes to hockey and has an IQ of 139? Why is that delusional?
Because, Mr. Henry, he's the kind of guy that starts to fight in the bar. He's the guy that starts the fight in the bar.
I don't go to bars. I don't even drink. I don't drink. Haven't smoked a cigarette in 12 years. I haven't drank a drink of liquor in 12 years.
You're the guy in a wheelchair who insists on using the pool table.
Now, well, listen, you sound all right to me.
If you can shut up, man.
I don't know where he's qualified to talk.
All right, look, I got to take a break. I think you're very, very healthy, and you sound like a good man there, Jack. And I think that you being going to hockey games sounds very, very healthy. And
are you qualified, Mr. Oh, here he is. I'm looking at the TV right now. There's Erica Badu. Well, she's got a big butt on her, don't she?
All right, I don't want to talk about that.
I'm sorry, but it was part of the... We were looking at this today, Phil.
I'm not talking about that, am I?
No, sir, you're not.
We were talking about this gentleman, and you... Okay, so what's your assessment of Jack? He's in a wheelchair, he goes to hockey games, he is a high IQ, he's got a degree.
That's when he wasn't in a wheelchair, all right? Now that he is in a wheelchair, I would, unfortunately, have to recommend him for restraint.
For restraints.
Yes, because I can see that by the time he gets to be much older, and by the time he has to go, when he is eventually tapped out and he's all in, they'll have to probably tie him down. Now, that's my only concern. And people say, what right do you have? Well, where is his family that's going to make a call like that?
Well, maybe they're around. And I can only hope and pray that they're around so that you're not around to have the guy put in restraints because he happens to like hockey. Martel, you're on the Phil Henry Show, listening to us on K-Talk in Los Angeles tonight. Martel, go ahead.
Hello. I just got to ask one quick question.
Yes, sir.
Jay,
you there?
How many people are you disconnected, with your job and all?
You mean hung up on?
Yeah.
Oh, I hung up on a lot of people.
Do you feel good about it?
Hanging up on people? Yeah, if I have to hang up on them.
I think you're talking about something else.
Disconnect them.
Disconnect them from what? Reality?
From the wall, man.
Totally people.
Pull the plug.
Right.
Oh. No, I don't do that. My recommendation would be if a guy's tapped out.
Can we not use that term?
The technical term is...
I don't care. I don't want to use that term.
Well, my recommendation would be that I would recommend that, sir. I've never physically done that myself. Although I have unplugged vacuum cleaners things. I don't know if that's the same thing.
No, that's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Do these people that get unplugged, do they ever have, like, a proper funeral? You know what I mean? Like,
I hope so. I hope
or,
so.
Or it's like, you know, guys bury a hole in the ground, like, you know, back in World War II, a ditch, just throw the bodies in there.
I don't know with the cost of health care and the expense that goes into. Well, I guess it doesn't cost that much to dig a hole.
No, it doesn't cost that much to dig. Thank you very much, Martel. The world famous Phil Henry Show, Jay Santos, and he's making sure nobody's tapped out. We'll be back coming up next on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Art Griego,
Phil Henry,
and the team.